For her sake, Ned had built a small sept where she might sing to the seven faces of God. But the blood of the first men still flowed in the veins of the Starks, and his own gods were the old ones, the nameless, faceless gods of the Greenwood that they shared with the vanished children of the forest. Welcome to the White Book Podcast, the original A Game of Thrones LCG podcast. Founded in 2010 as Two Champs and a Chump, we thought it was best to rename and rebrand ourselves as the game did so with the second edition. Now, we are the White Book Podcast, and each week we bring you your dose of strategy, insight, and all-around geeky goodness. A huge thank you goes out to Fantasy Flight Games and George R. R. Martin for this game and world we love, but more importantly to you, our listeners. Please consider supporting us on Patreon so that we can continue to make this show the best it can, and I promise we have big plans for the future. This is The White Book.
Why do they name chapter packs after the worst card in the pack?
That's a great question. Great question. Are we sure it's the very worst card in that pack?
The agenda is pretty bad.
Yeah, exactly my thought.
No, the agenda is bad until it's broken. That's a different kind of bad.
Man, if this will ever be broken, I mean, not to delve too far into the review yet, but that faction card, you know, is going to rein it in a lot.
Maybe. I don't know. I have mild hope for that, and I have no hope that Favor of the Old Gods will ever be anything but a completely terrible card.
Man,
I want it to end up being good, but it is hard to see.
I mean, it's basically impossible to see, right? Like, it's all right, well, that's the chapter pack review, but hi, I'm Aaron.
We're getting way ahead of ourselves there on White Book this week. I'm Will.
I'm Scott.
Scott's first official week on the show, and he sounds so overjoyed to be here.
Well, he just got home after being called in last minute because Roy is terrible and indecisive as always. So, like, don't blame him because Roy is terrible.
I am okay. So happy to be here. I've had a long day and I ran home.
Ooh, and got the blood pumping.
I tried to beat New York City public transportation and get back in 20 minutes, and it is impossible.
Yeah, I figured it would be longer than that.
You did really well getting here from, considering the state of the subway system, which is going to be interesting to no one who doesn't live in New York, so we should move on. But holy shit, is the New York subway system complete trash right now?
It is not good.
Well, props to Scott for joining us. Messenger noises aside, we're excited.
I am closing it.
It's Dan.
We're excited to have him.
It is Dan. Okay. Anyway. Now that I closed it,
let's review some cards.
Dan Struhal is a good member of the community. Let's give props to Dan Struhal.
Do we have to? I feel like he gets props all the goddamn time. Like, Dan gets more props of any player who's never won anything than anyone but Will.
And I don't get very many props, so like, it's a really low bar for Dan to clear, and he does it in space.
You get props all the time. Everyone goes, pillar community this. Greatest veteran that. That was
just
a humble brag.
Just tell me I'm a first edition elitist or something or another, when really they should be saying I'm a CCG elitist. Any of you guys that joined in first edition count.
Was the CCG actually good, though?
Depends on your definition of good. Wildly powered and crazy swingy and just like the Wild West of card design? if you like that. Yes.
So what second edition is becoming? Kinda,
yeah.
Only, you know, with the added benefit of opening booster packs, desperately hoping that you get a copy or second or third copy of the Eerie, you know, or the greatest Tywin Lannister ever made. I still miss that Tywin Lannister.
Do second edition players, have they heard of him?
You know, they might not have.
He's not as notorious as the Viper.
Oh, but man.
Well, the Viper is a first edition card. The CCG has fewer players left.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, just to lay that one on you real quick, it was a 5-cost Tywin Lannister, which, of course, in the old curve of the game, that was really at the edge of anything playable. But he was 5-cost, 5-strength, all 3 icons, renown, 2 influence, of course, was resource, so vaguely a little bit, teensy bit, sort of like having 2 gold on him these days. Oh, and then this awesome crazy text where it said, as long as he's standing during the standing phase, no other characters stood.
Yeah, so, it's a little bonkers.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the core set, Stannis, is kind of, I guess, maybe an homage to him, but that time
not even close.
A lot better.
Not plus, close was good.
Yeah, plus there were a lot of character, maybe not a lot, but there were characters that were immune to character abilities at the time, and Lannister had like 3 or so. So you played them. Oh,
so they extra overpowered it?
Yeah, yeah. So like that's still probably my favorite deck I've ever really played. You basically made that tie one, could not be killed. And then he normally had the highest strength at 5. Most stuff kind of topped out at 3. So there was an event that made the character with the highest strength not be able to attack or defend. He already had renown in all 3 icons, as I said. And generally everything else was knelt. So
what you're saying is he's almost as good as second edition Mace Tyrell.
You know, he's getting close. He still had to actually make challenges. Mace doesn't have exactly to do that now.
That's why I'm saying Mace is better.
Yeah. Good choice.
I think Mace might be the most broken character they've ever printed in this game.
Ooh, ever printed in the game. Man, now you're going to make me want to just really dig back into the history.
Okay, I guess there's enough shit that got eroded in first edition that, like,
geez, I mean, probably even, one of the things they even just prized Dani, right? Like, she was pretty
bomb. Yeah, she was real good. Yeah, she'll never be back.
No. What about new cards that actually exist? I'm sure listeners are getting pretty tired of my reminiscing at this point.
Of first edition elitism?
No, CCG. CCG elite.
I've never played either. And in second edition, I think Mace is the worst.
Yeah, I just don't like the design of Mace more than I think that there's anything like wrong with him. You know what I mean? Like, it's just weird.
He's
a very strange design decision.
Well, he makes you not have to do things.
Yeah. Like, I feel like in the game, you should have to do things.
He's much like more of a magic style design philosophy than what we're used to thinking of as Thrones.
Huh. What game did Danny used to play?
Yeah.
Crazy. I don't really know much about magic, so that's about all I have to say about that. I know Corey's going to be
another podcast about passive power game.
I feel like Corey's just going to be a millionaire for magic, and then we're all going to have to learn about it to keep up.
I mean, if he makes it big, I will definitely check out the coverage.
Yeah, me too. Definitely support.
Yeah.
Be like, man, he played for free for years. He's a moron. He dedicated more time than everyone else combined to the free game. What are you going to do? right, let's talk about cards.
Yeah, yeah. We've got loads of cards to lay on everybody here. So let's go ahead and dive right into the Favor of the Old Gods chapter pack. So lots of excitement here, or at least some cards here. There's at least 20 cards in the pack. So that's something.
I only count 19.
Ah, damn. Well, that's a problem. Regardless, we'll be rating them.
I don't see.
Damn it, Aaron.
Want to talk now? Now? Have a now. Now? Have a now. Cut.
Anyway, so we're gonna be reviewing them somewhat similar to the American grading scale. So A's are great, F's blow chunks, and you can figure out everything else in between. Of course. Go ahead.
There's one more rating.
What rating would that be, Aaron?
Well, there's S rating, right? There's the cards that are just so good that they get the S.
That's true.
There's none in this pack. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, there's no house that gets an S. There's a couple cards I would consider it for.
Well, let's go ahead and jump into it then. We've got Stark up first, as usual. Oh, man. I'll bite the bullet this time.
No, I'm House Stark. I'm a Stark loyalist.
Okay, there you go. Aaron's excited about that. Go for it.
I am very excited for Nymeria, who is a 4/3 direwolf, non-loyal character. Only a military icon because it's a direwolf, even though dragons have two icons. Apparently direwolves are not nearly as cool. It has intimidate and no attachments. During a challenge in which you control a participating Stark character, Neil Nim and any number of direwolf characters have each of those characters participate in the challenge on your side. There's also the card that doesn't exist, Favor of the Old Gods, which is a House Stark non-loyal attachment. Cost 2, Blessing and Old Gods. Attached character gains the Old Gods trait, which, as we all know, is one of the power traits of the game. If each character, location, and attachment you control has the Stark affiliation, kneel Favor of the Old Gods to stand attached character. Favor of the Old Gods cannot possibly make me any angrier. like Stark is completely terrible right now. And, like, I'm playing Stark for War, so I've spent a lot of time with Stark cards. Scott's going to help me because he remembers the names of cards, and I obviously never do. What's the name of the Night's Watch card that gives all the stewards insight?
Yeah.
Bowen March?
Bowen March is a 6/4 military power.
Yeah.
Gives all stewards
power? I think he's intrigue power.
Sorry, intrigue power. Intrigue power, excuse me. It has +1 reserve. Gives all stewards insight, whether he's participating or not, on attack and defense. Cool?
So only on entry challenges.
Only on entry challenges. Cool. Let's compare that to, I don't know, Sir Roderick Castle, who's a 6/4 military power, has to be participating, has to be attacking, doesn't have any other boost. Which one's better? Like, just straight up better.
I mean, the art on Roderick is way better.
He doesn't have a beard.
I don't know what any of character in the game's art looks like. But, okay. So, Catelyn Stark. 7/5, right? Base? 7/5, intrigue power lady?
Maybe she is 5.
No, I'm pretty sure she's 5.
She's 5. She's
whatever. 7/5, intrigue power lady. No other keywords. Right? But she gets +1 power when a character that you control, when a Stark character, excuse me, that you control is killed or sacrificed. Limit twice per round.
Yep.
Cool. So she can get 2 power round at most. Does she have any way to trigger herself?
Not built in.
Oh, okay. What's Mace Tyrell's tech?
Well, you know.
Yeah, but like everyone's seen Mace recently, yeah, if you've been playing the game at all, right? Like Stark's cards are severely underpowered. So in order to get like a simple stand and the Old God trait, whatever the fuck synergy that's supposed to have, like in order to get a simple stand, every single card you control must be underpowered. They got the worst economy card. The worst economy card. So...
I don't know about that. No,
it's the worst economy card. It's worse than the Barrow one. And that's the only one in competition, right? Like, which one?
The Greyjoy one, I think, was before, but it's gotten better.
Well, Asha exists now, so it's
and
better.
And the Tyrell, right? The Tyrell one. So, you know, like
the Tyrell one's perfect.
Redundant. that it.
Yeah. Well, and summer plots are like high gold. So, like, if you're running summer plots, you already have high gold. And winter plots are generally low gold. And so, taking that hit of one gold whenever you see a summer plot, which is super prevalent, is A, more likely to happen, and B, significantly worse when it does happen. So Stark one's the worst. So you have to run out of faction economy. You have to run out of faction characters because all the characters in the house suck. Sorry, my wife is yelling at things. So all the Stark cards are underpowered. You have to run nothing but these underpowered Stark cards. Like, Stark's whole theme is that you have to run more Stark cards, but then they make the Stark cards significantly less powerful than anything else. So in order to make Stark work, you really want to run other cards. And then they give this card where you have to run all the goddamn bad cards. Like, bad card on top of bad card on top of bad card. It's not even one cost, it's still two cost. And what does it get you?
It gets you a slightly better seal.
A seal of the hand, man.
A slightly worse Seal of the Hand.
Well, I mean, it costs one less, but it doesn't have to go on a Lord Early.
Sure, but it has to go on a Stark card.
Well, right, but you were saying, you know, as once you meet that criteria. So I'm not counting the criteria.
So once you meet the criteria, it is mildly better than Seal of the Hand. So once you have completely tanked your deck and made it terrible. I also love that it's non-loyal, by the way, because my Baratheon deck is going to have all Stark cards, 100% Stark cards, so that I can use this. But, like, why would this be cost 2? Like, on what planet is this a remotely good investment? On what planet is this, like, you look at the Targ cards, like, Stark would have played either of the Targ cards. Stark would have played either of the Tyrell cards. Stark would have played either of the, well, one of the Martell cards. These are all, like, houses that are at the top of the game, and they're still getting amazing shit. Why give the, like, one of the two or three worst houses, by any measure, this complete trash card?
It got the name of the chapter pack, man. That's what matters.
Yeah, it's. I feel like they're just trolling.
I feel like maybe we're just spending too much time on it. Like, I think the cost to benefit ratio is not there. Even if this was non-unique, I don't know that it's there. I think my only part
even if this was not
this one card is that I guess you can still use King's Roads with it since you'll sack them.
Non-unique and cost 1, and I still wouldn't play it. Like, I'm not kidding. If this was non-unique with 1 cost, I would not play it. Nightmare.
I mean, if it was characters only, it'd be a decent card.
Yeah, if it was characters only, yeah. It'd be fine. I'd be annoyed, like, because I'd be like, oh, well, I wish I could run Littlefinger, right? But, like, it's not the end of the world. But they'd specifically nerfed it into Oblivion. Like, you can't even have a milk.
Nope.
Like, they couldn't exclude locations so you could run Gold Roads or Rose Roads?
Nope.
Like, what? Like, get rid of one of the they nerfed it into absolute oblivion. There's multiple ways with minor tweaks to make this good, and they chose to make it, like, trash garbage dumpster fire instead. I don't understand. And then Nymeria is awesome. Nymeria is the best direwolf, probably. I mean, it's either her or Grey Wind, but she's phenomenal. I think I like her more.
Yeah, Intimidate's great, and
I think Summer's really good too, man.
Yeah,
Summer
very
out.
Fair. I forgot about Summer. Summer's not even a character in my head. Summer's like
kind of an event or something.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, no, summer's phenomenal. You're not wrong. Like, they need more ways to get things into challenges, right? Like, Nymeria plus Bran is a good start to getting direwolves into more challenges.
Plus Intimidate.
Intimidate's good.
I'm all about that Intimidate these days.
I feel like we weren't adequately prepared for exactly how good Intimidate was.
I think you're right. Like,
it's the best keyword.
Yeah, we initially thought it was, solid, but not great. But I think it's proven itself more and more potent.
Yeah, I mean, is it better than stealth? That's close. Like, stealth was traditionally the best keyword.
Right.
No, I think it's better. And I mean, obviously, in which scenario and which deck.
Right.
But in a vacuum, I think it's more powerful.
I can see it.
Yeah. I mean, in a vacuum, it is not only clearing a defender out of the way stealth does, just on a challenge other than the one you just made, but it's also potentially depriving attackers. So,
yeah,
it's good. It's good.
It affects how you build your deck. It's just phenomenal. Being able to get that on Intrigue, being able to threaten that on literally any challenge, like your chump power challenges now have teeth and have to be defended. It's all around just fucking phenomenal. Honestly, this probably could have been a 4-for-4 and been fine, but like, it's a fantastic card.
I mean, any deck you're playing Dark in, I think you're playing at least one of this. I mean,
yeah.
100%. I'm debating if I put it in my Martell Wolf now, because it wants to go second too much, but I probably consider one of.
I don't think you have enough start characters for it, because it's only a participating start character.
That's fair. Never mind, I was reading it wrong. So yeah, I probably don't. But
no, it's not a good banner card. It's a main house start card, which limits it, but like, fine.
Yeah, it could be a false banner card too.
Yeah, okay. Guys, if you're building decks, and I know this is new, don't false banner Stark. Stark has the best banner package because you're just choosing the best Stark cards. The very best Stark cards aren't completely terrible.
And
they don't have enough to make a full deck.
Don't forget, Ward makes characters Stark characters.
Yeah, but most of the time, your goal with Ward is to get that character off the fucking board quickly, right?
I agree. I mean, the goal is to Ramsey it away. Or March did. Or Ramsey.
Right. Or the seven thing.
Seven thing?
7717.
Oh, Fallen from Favor.
Fallen from Favor.
Yeah. Lots of different tricks here.
You can't say D7 when you're talking about Starks.
Fair. You're right. Fallen from the favor of the old gods.
Ooh.
Hey. God, I hate favor of the old gods. All right. Let's just give this a rating so we can talk about literally anything else.
I think we spent way too much time on favor of the old gods.
I agree.
I really hate favor of the old gods. Like, it's just... All right, let's go.
So, Stark, then. What kind of rating do you give him overall out of this, Aaron? You get the first
one. I mean, an F and an F and an A averages out to... I mean, the F is like a 0, though. So, like, if you average 100 and a 0, that's still a 50. I'm going to give him a D out of sheer hatred for favor of the old gods.
That's brutal. What do you think, Scott?
That's rough. I was between C plus and B minus, but out of feeling bad, I'm going to go B minus.
I think I'm headed the C plus route myself. I like Nim. Favor sucks. I guess I'll just hope Stark gets some better cards.
I honestly, this is another discussion for another time, but I think that Stark isn't in a horrible place besides a lack of draw. If they had a decent, consistent draw card and maybe one or two good more chuds, they'd be in a competition for one of the better houses in the game.
They'd be.
It's mainly the lack of draw that makes them so bad right now.
Lack of draw, lack of economy, both really hurt. But what Stark really needs is secret schemes in reverse.
That's what for them too.
Yeah. Like if you make secret schemes and it's like plot one, two or three, plot one, draw five cards, plot two, draw four cards, plot three, you know what I mean? And then you just limit it, like cap it that way. That'd be phenomenal.
Incredibly good.
Yeah.
It also makes Stark work.
Hey, but spoiler, you know what else is incredibly good? Yeah. So, like, Stark can get some incredibly good cards because every other faction gets... Like, what's the last... Nimir is very good, right? What's the last incredibly good card Stark got? Like, Secret Schemes level card. Fast Eddie?
I was leaning...
Frozen Solid, so...
Yeah, okay.
But I mean, those were both boxes.
Was Frozen Solid the Stark box?
It was in the box, too.
Wait, so it's been since the Stark box that they got really, like, that doesn't seem...
Well, actually, 3-cost Bran
is as good as...
I don't think it's that level.
It's very good, but it's, yeah. Like, they've gotten lots of good cards, right? But, like, I'm talking Secret Schemes good.
It's been a while, but I think Scott's right. That is a topic for a whole episode. I mean, we're 25 minutes into a review episode, and we've literally only talked about two Stark cards out of the whole pack.
You mean you don't want to be done at 3 a.m.?
You know, I might be able to do that, although I'll hate myself when I have to get up for work in the morning. But I'm pretty sure my wife would murder me mid-podcast.
Well, tomorrow is... spoiler, when you hear this in 2 weeks, tomorrow is Valentine's Day, so we should all really make sure we're free tomorrow. True. Okay.
Let's jump over to Tyrell. Do you want Tyrell, Scott, or should I take
it? I'll take it, sure. This is Aaron's least favorite pack of cards in this pack.
Yep.
So this is the one I agree with Aaron on, Hightower Spy. Has Tyrell, non-loyal character, 3 costs, 2 strength, intrigue power, has Hightower and Spy traits, ambush 3. After Hightower Spy enters play, choose a character and reveal the top card of your deck until end of phase. That character gets plus X strength. X is the printed cost of the reveal card. And Blessed by the Maiden. Has Tyrell, non-loyal attachment, cost 2, Blessing and the 7 treated. The character you control only, attach character gains the 7 trait, and no attachments except Blessing. So, more variants from Hightower Spy, and more ways to pump your dudes for Tyrell, so you can stand them with the Standy Courtier and Stan Randy and do things like that. Which is annoying, but a Tyrell thing, and I don't think it's significantly better than any of the other packages they have, unless you're doing some type of Shaga combo with Castle's Creep or Bear in the Main Pair.
But that's not how you do it, right? Like, because that's not what Tyrell runs. Tyrell doesn't run... I mean, I guess you can run the Knight package, but like short of that, Tyrell just runs good stuff.
No, I agree.
Like you don't stick this in a deck that's built around pumping things. You just put all that shit.
But in that,
in a good Tyrell
deck. In that good stuff deck, though, do I have slots left over for the Spy? I'm not certain I do.
Yeah, like, yeah, you make space. Like it's a 3-for-2 intrigue power. It's a chud. It's set upable, and like in that deck already, you have. Mace that can ambush it in Flea Bottom, regular ambush. Like it's ambush 3, not even 4. Like it's super cheap. Like it doesn't have to be a participating character, so you can use it to fuck with people. It works with Renown, it works with everything.
More fodder
like,
for
it works
the
as extra intimidate. Yeah. It's more shit than the Informer. Like it's just like I don't know if you run 3, but I would definitely find space for 2. Just like it's going to win you challenges you otherwise wouldn't, right?
Yeah, it's just timing wise, winning those challenges, you know, like I'm not initiating a challenge to try and bait my opponent into defending and then popping in a high tower spy to win it. Like, I just can't really bring myself to jump in on that gamble when they defend for, you know, plus three strength and I jump in the spy and get plus two. And I'm like, well, crap, that didn't work out like I wanted.
I was planning more on using it on defense, and I'm running at least two, but more likely three of the standy guy anyway.
Yeah, I think being proactive with the courtier for stand is a much better game plan. Or even green apple knights for not kneeling. Anything where you're getting extra challenges out of whatever body you get this plus strength to. Randall too, I suppose.
I mean, like, just extra renown is the idea, right? Like, think about how many games with Tyrell you have. Like, winning against Tyrell is hard as fuck. But there's games where it's just like, man, if I can survive one more plot, I can reset this board, and, like, they don't have enough renown to get both these challenges through. And this is just like, yes, they do. Like, they don't have to choose. They're just like, all right, I can do everything. It's fine.
Are you talking about Tyrell not having enough renown for anything? There's always enough renown with Tyrell.
Well, no. Sometimes they don't have enough renown to close that round. And you're like, if I can survive, I can just reset. And we'll be fine. And this card set basically says, here's another way to get that extra challenge off. Like, if nothing else, you've got Renly, Brienne, Mace, and this, right? Just... You keep pumping the Hightower Spy into Brienne, and then you let the other guys just rock face, and you're going to win in like two turns. Like, that extra little bit of closing is what this does. Like, it doesn't have renown, but everything it does makes the renown, makes that extra power happen easier and faster and better. And I feel like that's probably bad for the game, especially because one of the very few things that keeps Tyrell at all in check is that Targ is so goddamn overpowered. And, like, giving them more easy strength pumps is just like, well, let's keep them a little bit safer.
Right.
I think this is competing for a difficult slot is the only thing that might keep this card and someone in check. I know you think the slot isn't that difficult, but I think it's a difficult slot. It's competing with Emissary of the High Tower, Olena's Informants. And... Go ahead.
You run two and two, and you run three Emissary, because draw is good.
Wait, which ones are we talking here? Emissary's
the extra
replay.
The extra
you mean Informer?
Oh, for the I don't know. Cycling? I don't think I run. Yeah, Informer. I don't think I run Emissary. I think this edges out Emissary. Sorry. They all have such similar
I don't think games. It edges out Emissary. Emissary's way more flexible than this. If you need the pump, you pull back your Renly's Ride. If you need to blank problem character, you pull back a Nightmares.
I don't really run Nightmares in Tyrell anymore. I just find I don't need it. Like, I'm running like two or three Renly's Ride for the strength pump and intimidate. I don't really run much else event-wise. Occasionally Hand's Judgment, which I guess makes it better.
The Iron Bank will have its due is another good target for the Emissary.
I don't run Iron Bank will have its due in Tyrell. I don't really see much need to.
It's if you're running these other ambush things, it makes it better, right? So it makes Olena's Informant better if you can reuse it the next round and then ambush another thing in and do more high tower.
Yeah, I get it. I would just rather have extra bodies at that point. Like, at that point, it's what do I want to top deck, and I'd rather just top deck another ambushy dude. And, like, I'm running three Fleabot, I'm running this big location suite, so I tend not to.
Something that concerns me about this, and I don't like being a pessimist or talking bad about people who play certain types of cards, but I think... cards that might be viewed as more interesting by people people who play the game more competitively are cards like Emissary and so on and so forth. Because these do other things. They're not just like a big guy and they're pumping a big guy to make him bigger and stuff. So it's more interesting. But sometimes maybe it isn't any better than just making things bigger and doing more things that make guys bigger. And it's kind of uninteresting to me, and I'm sure to many other people. Seems like Aaron agrees with that sentiment. But
I mean, we're talking about these cards from a competitive perspective. I don't think either of these cards are at all interesting. That's kind of not the point.
Well, what about the other card? We haven't even talked about Blessed by the Maiden at all.
I actually think Blessed by the Maiden is interesting to see if it... It probably is worth a spot if you're concerned about Milk on your Maze, which is something you should be if Milk comes back in the meta to a decent extent.
Maze is why it's in the meta, right? Like, Milk is seeing play specifically because of Maze.
I agree it's mostly because of Maze. I also think because of Greyjoy big guys, but I think they can usually sew that off in a way anyway.
Yeah, Greyjoy gets rid of that pretty quickly. Like, and they could just can search it unless you happen to have gotten what's her name? Asha. They just go get whatever the fuck they want. It's really obnoxious. But like, Blessed is kind of a nightmare if for attachment decks if they ever become a thing, right?
Well, builders don't like it.
Maybe the Martell resurgence is going to want that after the box hits. Going to want the attachment, their attachments, I mean, which ups Blessed by the Maiden's utility.
I feel like there's very little reason not to just throw one into most Drell decks because you draw so much. You'll find it if you need it. And, like, if you don't need it, whatever, chuck it. You draw so much, you also discard plenty. So it shouldn't be, like, a major problem. But you... And, like, Mace will get rid of every bad attachment that's not, you know? Mace will completely chuck any attachment that's not on him, and this is just like, hey, find another way to get rid of Mace.
In that case, it honestly just makes me think, why blow the slots on it myself? If
Mace is that good.
I don't know. I think Tyrell did get some reasonable options here, but not just
crazy. I think both these cards are perfectly playable. Like, if I see them in a deck, I'm not scoffing at it.
Yeah. I think I would throw one Blessed by the Maiden in most Tyrell decks. I just don't see the downside, and it's all upside. Like, they're not short enough cards for me to care. Like, a lot of the reason that, like, you can't run certain cards in Stark is that, like, if you top deck that, you're just heartbroken, and you don't draw enough that you're going to be top decking at some point. So, like, Tyrell's almost never top decking. They almost always have a full hand of options. And when you have multiple options, this being one option just helps. It doesn't hurt.
Possible, but I think that's something we should come back to when we get to the neutrals.
Fair enough. I don't actually know why. All right.
Well, I think I know what Scott's getting at, but we'll get there eventually. What kind of rating would you give these cards in general, that or this house in general, in light of these cards? I mean, Scott?
I give them a B. They're both perfectly playable, but I'm optimistic that this doesn't make the game a good amount worse.
I don't think either one necessarily makes the game worse. I think B feels a little high for me, kind of aggregate as an aggregate here. I really think Blessed by the Maiden is not going to see much play in general. Hightower Spy is just kind of acceptable to me. I think overall they're getting just about a C out of this pack. Not bad, just acceptable.
Wow. I'm at a B+. I think these cards are very good. I think Tyrell is so good that they're not looking for cards to change them. They're just looking for cards to push and make their what they already want to do more efficient and more consistent. And that's exactly what these cards do. Efficiency and consistency.
There we go.
We'll read us some watch cards.
All right. We've got Garrison on the Wall. It is a non-loyal Night's Watch army, six strength military and power icons, has no attachments and reaction after garrison on the wall is declared as a defender. Kneel a non-Night's Watch character to stand garrison on the wall. So then we have Obsidian Arrows. This one is a non-unique but loyal attachment, zero cost, weapon trait. Bestow 4. An action while attached character is attacking. Move 1 gold from Obsidian Arrows to a defending character to give that character -3 strength until the end of the challenge. Limit once per challenge. I think these are actually pretty good. I like to see Arrows continuing the long-standing card game tradition of them giving minus strength to stuff, even in other card games. So that seems interesting to me. Seems like another reasonable way to just mitigate some chump challenges. But you're fighting against a lot of other slots in Night's Watch. Nothing else, I suppose. At least you can kneel it for boosts with what's his name? Even when
Alder.
Yeah. Alder, whenever it's used up, it's bestow. But I really like the look of garrison on the wall. Kneeling some piddly little out of house, or, well, I should say non-Night's Watch character. I don't know, a house maester or something, just for a quick example, to stand the garrison again. Seems pretty sweet. I like the sound of it. But I think it maybe goes in kind of a little different build. I don't know. I'm worried by the fact that it doesn't have any of the traits, Ranger, Steward, or Builder, that would actually connect it with kind of the main things we have going on at Night's Watch right now. So, like, theoretically, I like it. But practically, I think that trait is going to probably be a bigger hindrance than it would for some other houses.
Yeah, I don't actually like these cards. I'm surprised you're so high on them. I think garrison at the wall is just in a weird place with the economy being the way it is. A 6-cost non-unique, the Great Hall doesn't get to. Mm. You're going to have to straight up pay for it without the 2x reduction, which makes it a good amount worse. And it isn't actually, pushing your game plan through a ton more. It's just a big body, which can be nice, but it doesn't have a ton more upside. Plus, the non-Night's Watch means it isn't going in every Night's Watch deck as it is anyway. So I think if this does work, it's in a build that I don't see right now and would need other moving parts. Probably it'd be a banner wall deck. And the Obsidian Arrows, I do think the -3 is very strong. It's, finding the slots for it, and it is only for attacking, so it's, again, pushing Night's Watch in a way that we don't usually see it that way now, and if we do, then it is usually more in a choky kind of build, so you're not going to be having that much extra income to bestow a lot more on these arrows.
What Scott said, these cards is trash.
Well, that was surprisingly fast from Aaron on these.
They're not.
I mean, I think maybe I sounded higher than I meant to, judging by Scott's thing. Like, I like both of the ideas, but I'm skeptical that either one finds slots in their respective places. But especially once Scott reminded me that I can't Great Hall the garrison because it's non-unique, which that is a blow. That is definitely a blow.
Yeah, I think that these two are kind of trash garbage.
I think the arrows.
So I'm just saying that. Just say that again. If it weren't loyal, it'd be a great turd card.
Too great, I think. They already have all the good turd cards anyway.
The arrows might one day be good. I could see them being good. The garrison, I have a hard time seeing.
Taking away strength doesn't really matter unless, like, something else is happening because of it.
You have to be in, like, a crossing, very aggro, just want more in a pose deck.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Fine. I still don't think that, like, Like, if it wants more unopposed, it's probably trying to rush. If it's trying to rush, it wants to go fast, which means it needs its gold for characters and probably can't afford this.
Yeah, I don't think it's really...
Unbridled generosity.
That would be the sovereign or superior clan, man.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
yeah.
So, I don't think that these are good, and I'm going to give them an F.
Whew. I don't think they're that bad, but you guys have definitely even talked me down from where I was. So, maybe a D plus, but I agree with Scott about the arrows maybe looking better down the road.
Yeah, I was at a D. I still can see the arrows one day being a one or two of in some decks, but they're not going to be the blowaway card.
Nah, man, the F.
Back to Aaron for Baratheon.
You got the best house in this pack.
Well, no, I got the most interesting house in this pack. Oh no, I think I did get the best house in this pack. Look at that. All right, so. Selyse Baratheon is, I should actually go over her instead of over the other one. Selyse Baratheon is a House Barra loyal character. 6-for-3, terrible ratio, intrigue power, Lady Queen and R'hllor. Forced reaction. After you marshal Selyse, kneel your faction card, then kneel each non-lady character. Dragonstone Castle. House Barra loyal, costs 3. Dragonstone Stronghold. After a phase begins, kneel Dragonstone Castle to choose a character. Until the end of the phase, that character cannot stand. Guys, use this one in the standing phase. Dragonstone Castle is basically a first edition Lannister card that was amazing and a one of in every deck. It should still be at least a one of in every deck. Being able to keep whatever character you want basically permanently knelt unless they have extra stand is amazing. It's bad against Targ and at least good against basically everyone else. And it's great against Greyjoy if you can get it going. It's definitely a one of in every deck. I can see it as an HRD location. Because you can literally just say, well, once you challenge with your good guy, they're going to stay null forever. Then just start resetting the board and be like, whichever your best guy is, you don't get. I get all my best guys. Which is awesome. And Selyse is phenomenal. Making her R'hllor is extra awesome. Because when you use her with Mel, you can just kneel their one lady. And that's great.
Yeah.
She's... Again, a first edition card, which was much different because it was 10 cost, really hard. You had to like build for it. 6, you don't have to build for. You can just play her. I feel like Barra is probably a good house with these two cards. Like these two cards, assuming you can run enough initiative to go second and so on and figure out the right packages. I'm going to assume Banner Stark for some extra ladies, although it could just be Banner Martell for some jumper shit. Banner Tyrell for some jumper shit.
See, yeah. Tyrell.
Yeah.
Well, and they would give you a lady that actually has a military icon. Give you a better spread on that turn.
And you could... Well, the idea is for Selyse to play Selyse, then marshal the rest of your cards.
Well, you know, I'm just saying you could have Brienne already
on
the
that's board. Fair. But the idea isn't to, like, for Selyse to be your round. The idea is for, like, your second player, they marshal all their stuff, they're ready to go. You play Selyse, and then you drop like 2 or 3 other dudes, and it's like, oh, look at all the unopposed I'm getting. You can do that with Retaliation, you can do that.
Oh, and Chamber.
What?
Also what'd possible, you say? Set yourself up for dump.
I mean, you set yourself up for everything, right? Like, at that point, it's just like you can get like 7 or 8 power in one turn pretty easily. It's going to be an amazing bomb of a card.
So do these cards help Baratheon enough to eke it back into the kind of place it needs to be down here at the very, very, very bottom of the heap? I feel like a mostly open turn is a big boon for them, but maybe not quite reliable enough to be the magic tool.
So, I mean, if Targ wasn't in the meta, I think this would be right there. Like, I'd feel like Targ just doesn't care. You kneel Targ's board, and they're like, all right, I'm going to bounce three things and then chuck a card, and now I've got as much standing as you do. That's kind of a problem.
Well, and if Lannister gets back in a decent spot, I think in a lot of the ways it's the same for them. I'll bounce in a Hound, I'll Harrenhal in this and that.
Yeah. Let's be honest, Lannister doesn't matter right now.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why, right. I said if.
But you said in the meta right now, Will. So in the...
Right. Okay, I know, I'm mixing.
So,
them.
Like, but
does Martell? I don't know if Martell cares.
Yeah, maybe not. Martell might not care. It's close. Martell cares sometimes. Like,
Martell will be like, "Eh, that's annoying," but you know, I'll bounce some things, and
I mean, I feel like
I'll play some of them.
The more I think about this, the more this has to go with Stark. Although, actually, it could also pretty easily go with Greyjoy. So this goes with Stark or Greyjoy. Because you want... Cause you
Greyjoy. Asha, you're
yeah,
thinking?
Well, old Asha. Well, you can't do Asha. She's low. So yeah, old Asha would be really, really, really strong with this. And, like, Stark for just the extra ladies. But more for either house, it's that you want a bunch of... you want a bunch of location control. Because a lot of how they're going to try and get around this if they don't know it's coming is location control. Is locations. Things like Flea Bottom get around this, obviously. So like being able to like take away their Flea Bottom seems extra strong with a card like Selyse. And obviously you're running the Iron Bank because you want to reuse her. And you're running like your Hand Destruction module because you want to make sure they don't have cards to play. And you're running the Withering Cold because you want to like it's got great initiative, and then you want to make sure that, like, all those guys you just knelt, stay knelt. It's real strong, and God, the more I think about it, yeah, I think these two cards, when combined, they probably do push Barra back up to being relevant. Like, they're probably not as...
They just might. Now that you reminded me about Iron Bank, I, for some reason, hadn't thought about that with Selyse off the top of That's a big play to get you that goal to drop everything else the rest
yeah,
of the time.
I mean, like, you run the Iron Bank, you run a couple other things to, like, discard her so you can just play more copies, run three copies, you run Mel. Like, there's a really, really, like, I mean, if we do basic power, right? Jesus Christ. How the fuck is Support of Harlaw not loyal? All right. So,
wait a minute. You're going too far ahead
like,
in the patch.
Support of Harlaw on Asha, just for argument's sake, right? That's...
What are we talking about? It's hard, but we haven't...
Whatever. Support of Harlaw, Kneel of Worship to gain renown is what we're talking about. Yeah? So Asha alone is then too powerful for renown... Probably too powerful unopposed. If like they can defend unopposed at that point, it'll be amazing. It means they have Arya out, right? So too powerful for renown, too powerful unopposed, probably. That's four power. One of those is a power challenge, so that's five power, right? Right there. Then if you add in the two or three for Dom, that's seven or eight power in one turn. In a really easy to set up combo. Like, if you're second player, like yeah, you can defend against this, but if they're second player, there's not a lot you can do because they just drop it and go. Once their economy is set up, it's a combo. Like, once it's, you just drop it, you're like, all right. And if you've done this on Simone's plot on Withering Cold, you get to do it again next round. Like, that's...
I think I'm coming around on this pack and Vera. Like, I mean, I already was very much in favor of the Dragonstone castle, but it's probably just a 1x a lot of the time. But these together do bring some punch to the table for Baratheon.
Man, thank God this isn't out for war.
Some punch they've been needing. I mean, I'm going to go out on a limb here. The more I'm kind of thinking about some of this, and I'm going to say this is, gosh, am I going to go this far? I'm going to go A minus. Go A minus from there.
Well, I'm A plus.
I was A minus too. It's coming into this. I told you it's the best house in the pack, and Aaron was like, "Eh,
yeah, maybe." I mean, like, this just destroys Greyjoy, right?
Greyjoy does not like this.
What do they do?
If you've got that Mel set up, then they're in
trouble. If you've got Mel out, then
you really have no.
Asha's the only thing they could possibly have standing. They don't run any other ladies. Like, it's just...
What? You're not running Alanis in your Greyjoy
box? Yeah. So, like, you're nailing... They want to go first, so they're doing half the work for you. And, like, if they can't get up once all their big guys are out, what do they do? Like, it's like, and now Euron's sitting, and Balon's sitting, and I'm just going to keep sitting here looking at you. And, like, there's literally nothing they can do. This might go a long way to, like, neutering Greyjoy.
Yeah.
I just think that Farrah hates Greyjoy's location so much that matchup is still not necessarily a positive matchup.
I don't know if you need the Dom package with this card.
No, the Red Keep is what they need.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. They still don't have a lot of great draw.
I mean, it's more...
They need the Red Keep.
Yeah, and the deck probably has... But, you have to HRD
they have
keep,
no other Red Keep draw besides the Red Keep. The Red Keep is great.
Yeah.
But if Euron takes the Red Keep, you're fucked.
Well, they don't have to blow up the Red Keep either, especially. They could totally just, like, win power challenges and not let you draw cards.
They can do that, too, but... At least then the Red Keep lives the next round.
Yeah, well, I mean...
But if Greyjoy takes the Red Keep, you're fucked.
Yeah, it means you have to HRD the Keep and hope they're not running that one card that ruins your life, or two cards that ruin your life.
Yeah. Well, what about Lannister, then? Just to keep the review trucking along, I think that would send it to Scott's.
Read. So we have Sir Balon Swan. Lannister non-low character, 6 cost, 4 strength, mill power by con. He's a Kingsguard, so he can get the best attachment in the game. And the knight. Renown. Reaction. After a non-Lannister knight enters play under your control, gain 2 gold, limit once per phase. And we have Sweet Cersei. A loyal location, cost 1. Worship. During the challenges phase, you may spend gold on Sweet Cersei as if you're in your gold pool. After you win entry challenge, move 1 gold from the treasury to Sweet Cersei. So, Sir Balon Swan, I can care less about. He's not good. The Lannister Knight idea is still not good. Maybe one day.
It can't even be the Lannister Knight idea, so to speak. Like, Balon has to be some other knight idea.
Well, yeah, you have to run someone with more knights than just Lannister, because Lannister doesn't have enough knights yet.
You run Tyrell.
It has to be Tyrell.
Other factions have knights too, guys. But yes.
Yeah, but Tyrell has...
That's why he's not loyal. But Sweet Cersei, I like a lot.
Really?
Really? I don't.
I think it's designed from 2 cycles ago.
Yeah, I feel like it's a kind of a clunky, awkward... sort of thing. Like, I don't gain a lot here. Like, if I'm looking at this versus like a gold road, you know, I get a guaranteed 1 every turn off the gold road with no challenge needed. Sorry, 1 during the challenge phase, I mean. Mm-hmm. Since that's the only time you can use Sweet Cersei. So, I mean, yeah, it costs an extra 1 gold road, that is. But it also provides that flat plus 1 for marshalling. It's non-unique.
I think Clansmen is happy when they see Sweet Cersei. I think they run 3 gold road, and I think they run this.
I don't think they run this at all. I don't think this is a good card. I think if this worked in marshalling, I'd run one of. But since it's only challenge phase, I think it's complete and utter garbage, and I really, really don't think Clansmen, you know, like, Clansmen is running Iron Bank times 3, and they're not cutting an iron bank for this, and they really can't just afford any more locations.
I'm with Aaron 100%.
Maybe I just want it to be good, because I want Lannister to finally get a decent card in however many packs.
If this worked...
Neither one of these is it, bro.
If this card worked in marshalling, like, I'd consider one of. Like, I don't understand why it can't. Like, would that wouldn't make it OP, it would just make it decent. Like, why can't we just have a decent card? Like, instead, they're like, no, have a bad card. Like, I don't know. Like, this, much like Favor of the Old Gods, is, like, a very mild tweak or two from being good, and I don't entirely understand why they didn't just shrug and make that tweak or two.
I still don't think it's bad, and I still think there is a deck that will run one of this.
I can't think of one.
Yeah. I don't think so. And I don't really think Balance quite got a spot either.
Well, Balance Wand is just bad.
I mean, okay.
Let's be honest.
Cersei kind of reads. No, you have to win the entry challenge. Like, again, a couple of minor tweaks. Like, if it read after entry challenge is initiated, right? Like, then it's like mini Tyrion, and like, that's really good. Like, again, it's just bad. Sass gets a C-.
I'm even going down into the D plus range. The Kingsguard tech isn't there. The Knight tech, I don't think that is in the game, doesn't care about Balin.
You're missing one important thing. Missing one important thing that keeps it out of the D range. Renown. Yeah. Renown still matters. Renown.
Yeah. That was the only thing that gave me pause, but I still don't know that I can bring myself to pay 6 for it.
I go C-2. You guys made me feel sad about Sweet Cersei. I thought it had a place, and it might have.
You're
a
not
place.
Running it. I've built decks with you before.
I mean, historically, I underrate locations, so maybe I did it again. Well, we'll see what happens. I guess it sends.
So you got Greyjoy cards.
Yeah, it sends me to Greyjoy. Woo! We have a non-unique, non-loyal character. That's the Coastal Reaver. 3 cost, 3 strength military icon. Raider trait. Reaction after Coastal Reaver enters play. Choose an opponent. That player chooses a card in his or her hand, places it on top of his or her deck. And then, Support of Harlaw. The 1 cost, non-loyal attachment. House Harlaw trait. Challenges action. Kneel a worship location to have attached character gain. Choose one. Pillage, renown, or stealth until the end of the phase. The Reaver is pretty terrible. It's, I think, some very poor card advantage. If the card was random, I could maybe get behind it. Having them choose and just put it on top of their deck. Whatever. You pillage it away. It's not something they care about anyway if they put it on top of their deck. Support of Harlaw, though, I do like. You know, Greyjoy's got some warships to kneel, and it already gives you 2 of the top keywords in the game with renown and stealth, depending on what you need. And in a pinch, you just need to make sure Asha can dig through the top 40 cards of your deck. I suppose you can choose pillage, but... I think it's just going to be renown and stealth. And that's still pretty good.
Yeah, I feel like Euron with stealth might be good.
Yeah, yeah, you know?
Or Dagmar with stealth.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Heck, Victarion with stealth? I want that stealthy renown intimidate for sure.
Yeah.
Kor Asha?
What's a Kor Asha?
I thought about that.
That's a banner.
Yeah, that's the problem.
I can't believe.
You know,
I can't believe
I do that.
I was dead,
for sure.
Dead wrong about that.
You're both not.
Yeah, I was dead wrong about that. I thought Kor Asha was so good that it might edge out. It could be a real competition. Nope. Draw one's just too good.
But it's so much better than
it's better than draw one.
Yeah, so much better.
No, the draw one. I meant like not draw one. The draw one.
Oh, the draw Asha.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
The draw one is just better. The big Asha is just so fucking unbelievable. I mean, hey, giving her renown isn't terrible. This was bonkers. B, this should really be loyal and cost, like, so stop me if you've heard me complain about this before, but like, can you look at this and then look at Favor of the Old Gods? Like,
okay.
Like,
done.
I'd rather have renown than a stand most of the time, because it lets me get what I'm trying to get from the stand. I'd rather have stealth than a stand most of the time. It's cheaper. It's easier to play. It's got more targets. Like, how is this not
another card to power it, though?
Favor of the Old Gods literally needs every card to be Stark.
Yeah.
You need to build your entire deck around it. Like, there's no deck that's just naturally all Stark cards.
It's true. I just mean, once you have it, you don't need to draw a different card.
Sure, but you had to build your deck to make that happen.
I'm not building my deck to make Support of Harla happen?
Not necessarily. I'm running at least like 3 or 4 warships in Greyjoy at basically all times.
3 or 4 warships? How many supports are you including at that point? I think I want
usually 2.
I think I probably want 2 supports in Greyjoy? A range of like 7 warships. And then there's, I definitely also want 2 supports.
There's also, I mean, you're running in reigns, you're running 2 or 3 of the zero cost one, right?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I go up to 3 of the zero cost dead cert.
Then you're running, what, 2 of the Great Kraken?
Yep.
And then 1 of the Asha one.
Uh-huh.
That's so 6. You're fine. Yeah, 6 and 2 support, you're set.
I think I can do it.
Also notable, there's this new agenda. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it lets you start the game with a warship in play. Guaranteed.
Never heard of that one.
Yeah.
Is that the new one in this pack?
Pretty good. Greyjoy definitely has like at least 2 locations, 3 locations that it runs. Only 2 that work with this, but at least 2 locations that work with this that already happen. Support of Harlow is real good in a real lot of decks. And like, just because it doesn't go in every deck, Favor of the Old Gods can only ever go in exactly one deck. This is just like, it's not even like the design space. One is more expensive, more conditional, with a lesser effect. One is less expensive, easier to use, and has a better effect. And like, that's just not good design. Like, there's 2 cards in the same pack, and one is clearly better than the other. One fits decks clearly better than the other, and is then cheaper.
Yep. At least we can all agree.
Whatever.
Postal Reaver is pretty.
I like it. Right? Nope. I like it. I think it's a solid card.
I like it. The thing is, Greyjoy has a good amount of military chuds, just mono military icon. If it wasn't for that, then I would like it, but I think I still like Stony Shore the best out of the group of them.
Well, this is, I can tell you where this goes. This goes in the Barrow one, the Dami one. Not the, if you're not running the full Old Gods, but you are running the Dom package, that's where this one goes. Because that deck still exists.
Why do you want it in there? I think you gotta elaborate a little more for me.
Because this plus Motley plus Seen in Flames. Oh, plus the, what's it called? I don't know what it's called. Queensman.
Just to empty their
hand destruction.
That
yeah.
Way.
Yeah. Okay. I gotcha. So if you have no hand and then they Valor and they've got a bunch of Dami stuff, they've won the game, right?
Yeah.
Like, you destroy their hand, you kneel out their shit, you gain a bunch of power, and then you win Dom. Like 2 or 3 times, and you take power extra for their Dom, you win the game. Game's over.
And, you know, on the slight upside, I suppose, if you're going that route, you've got your opponent down to, you know, top decking. Greyjoy wants to win initiative, so you can make sure you go first to hit them with the Reaver and make them put one of their two cards back on top of their deck. Which, yep. I mean, would be a crappy game state to be on the receiving end of.
Yeah, no, they're and then, like, Motley on their one of their two dudes on the board, and it's just like, well, I better play everything out. And it's just like, they're top decking every single turn. There's nothing they can do about it at that point.
Yeah, I still think it's a pretty narrow scoped, you know.
Yeah, it's one specific deck. It's one specific deck, and it's not a super good deck, but at least it's an interesting deck.
That's true.
It's not like even a B card, but I don't think it's an F. Like, I think it's a solid little C card. It's not bad. It's just not good.
Okay.
It's got its place.
But I mean, like, I don't know. I feel like we've done most of that talking. Scott, before I jump straight into going ahead and reading, maybe I should let you have a chance to have a say.
I said I thought the Coastal Reaver wasn't a bad card. I think Support of Harlar is a stupid card that shouldn't exist, but it's good. That is what I think about this. I hope we see much more synergy for the House Harlar tree. Should be right up there with House Botley.
Yes.
And if we get both those, we can have a very interesting Greyjoy deck that isn't built around variants of Pillage.
We can only hope. It'll probably still use that anyway.
I mean, you can give people Pillage with the support. Harlar, so.
Yeah. Seems a little unnecessary. People are running Black Winds Crew lately, because, mm-hmm. like, apparently they really want Pillage. Stop doing that.
Yeah, exactly.
But
it, like, just I'm saying this publicly. Let's just stop. Yeah, that's cool. You'll hit that anyway. Because, like, hey guys, you don't need Pillage to hit the discard pile. I don't know if you knew that about the game.
It grows on it.
But yeah, it grows on its own.
Like, Sansa's Crew costs one more, and Sansa's Crew is pretty fucking good.
Yeah, Sansa's Crew is way the fuck better for one more. And then if not, you run a bunch of two cost shit for setup. 3 cost is the worst cost slot in the game. That has not changed.
Okay, well...
Is 3 cost the worst cost slot in the game? Yeah, 3 cost is the worst cost slot in the game.
Yeah.
8 cost.
8?
Sure. That one card. Okay, fine. Of real cost slots. Like, I don't even count 1 and 8, really. But, like, of real cost slots, 3 is the worst in the game.
That sounds like a great topic to debate later on. I think maybe as an extension of that other topic you were mentioning, you were working on, Aaron, but I don't think that's a road we've got time to travel down tonight.
We're not taking the road less traveled?
We're not.
Who's Targ?
Well, we need to rate this. I think overall, Greyjoy, I really, really like support, but I'm meh on the Reaver. So I think I give him maybe like a C plus to B minus out of this, somewhere right in that range, right on the cusp.
Yeah, B minus is where I was.
I was at a straight B. So pretty positive. And now we go to
our preview cards from last week.
Yes.
Do I read them?
Yeah.
So, did you already
go ahead and read them? We may not discuss them super super heavily since we previewed them just last week, but let's at least make sure we get them read and read.
All right, Wise Master, almost said Maester out of habit. House Targaryen, non-loyal, 3 for 3, intrigue power, ally, bestow 3. Discard 1 gold from Wise Master to return an out of faction attachment or event from your discard pile to your hand. Limit once per round. Double checking, this definitely doesn't hit things like nightmares, right?
It does not. I was going to let you read both of these and then issue that particular.
I just wanted to double check.
Yeah.
And then goofed
on that one.
Yeah. Oh well, that's not out yet, so I don't know. All right. Yunkai.
So you're saying it doesn't hit neutrals?
It
does not.
Hit it neutrals. Does not. Being not Targaryen doesn't mean it's not Targaryen or something like that. I don't know. Anyway, evidently the RRG, which I hadn't stopped to just read cover to cover, specifically says cover to cover in a while, recently I should say, specifically says that neutral cards are not out of faction cards. Now, logically speaking, it doesn't make a lick of fucking sense, but it is clearly spelled out. So
that makes me happier about this card, though.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Happier and worse. I think it drops it from good and interesting to
wait. Bad, guys, we still didn't read both cards.
Okay.
Second card is Yunkai. Yunkai is a target, non-loyal location, cost 1, Essos, bestow 4. During a challenge in which you are the attacking player, kneel Yunkai and discard X gold from it to remove each card with strength X or lower from the challenge. X cannot be 0. If you win the challenge, place 2 gold from the treasury on Yunkai.
Which I think is pretty good.
It's great early, especially because you can just chuck 1 gold and remove no one from the challenge and be like, hey, look, now it's plus 1. A bunch of times, like if there's nothing you really, really want to use it on. It's going to get edged out. There's zero chance that there's space for this in Targ. But I think it's the most interesting card Targ has gotten in fucking ages. Like, everything else is just hyper fucking efficient. And this is, like, counterplay and fun and good. But, like, Targ doesn't do that. Targ just burns everything and shrugs and moves on. So, like, this might be a good banner card. Like, it's one of the better bestow locations we've gotten. It's really good. It's interesting. It refills itself to at least 2 if you don't screw up badly. Like, it's a really good card. And you can get up to 7 or 8 on it pretty easily. It's very good. It's just like, hey, they also printed Astapor. So, I don't know.
Yeah. It's tough being up against that slot.
So, meanwhile, Wise Master is probably a bad card. Again, you're sort of looking at it in a banner package, probably Banner to Martell to get back, like, their Icon Strippers or Venomous Blade or whatever. Because if it's not in your faction, like...
Well,
would it get back Targ at that point?
Package. That's where
it gets... Oh, God, no, that's annoying.
You've got to be in
Yeah, you would have to get back a Targ.
And use it on non-loyal stuff from the other faction. Yeah.
Or you can be in another faction and get back Targ shit.
Right. Yep. Though, I mean, what Targ stuff I want to get back in that scenario, I don't know. The Targ stuff I want to...
You can cheat and run Crown of Gold.
Oh, you know, I hadn't just considered cheating.
Yeah, cheating makes this card amazing. If you don't cheat, though, you should probably not play it. I also just want to call attention to... This says specifically out of faction, while Sir Balon says non-Lannister knight, and Garrison at the Wall says non-Night's Watch character.
Yes.
So just, like, while it is stupid, it is at least consistent.
Consistent.
Also, these cards get a C minus.
I mean, it's the different phrasing.
Yeah.
Wise Master obviously was phrased not to allow neutrals, while Balon and company were phrased to allow neutrals.
So, yeah, I think it's a C-. I think Yunkai could be really good if Targ weren't ridiculously OP. Like, I think Stark would play this, and I think Barrow would play this, and I think Lannister might play this, but I don't think Targ or the top houses ever would.
I think Wise Master is close to being a good card advantage card. But just finding the combination for it and making you do banners might make it not reach that. It is interesting if you do the 75 card deck with 3 factions, then it gets interesting. But that's not an efficient deck because it's 3 factions, 75 cards. So I'm going to give this faction a C-.
I think Yunkai is going to prove more worthy of the space than expected here. So I think I'm actually going to give Targ about a minus here, even with Wise Master being worse than expected at first.
If it hit neutrals, that car would be bonkers.
Yes, indeedy. Oh, since got to Martell?
This is the other competition for best faction, by the way, guys.
I think Barra's better this pack.
Yeah, I think Barra's better too, but this is close. We'll talk in a minute. Go ahead.
Planky Town Trader. Plus Martell, non-loyal character. Cost 1, strength 1. Power icon. It's merchant traded. Still 5. Interrupt. When Planky Town Trader leaves play, put a non-Martell character with printed cost extra lower into play from your hand. X is the number of gold on Planky Town Trader. Until in the phase, that character cannot leave play. And we have Shandystone. Non-loyal location to cost. It has the Dorn and Stronghold traits. Reaction. After you lose a challenge as the defending player, kneel Shandystone to choose and stand a character you control.
Man, that's mean to Barra. Same chapter back as Salif. Go ahead.
It's mean to Barra. It's mean to a lot of people because stand is good. Stand isn't a Martell mechanic. I don't know why they're getting it. Losing is a Martell.
There you go. That's the catch. You gotta lose.
Yeah. I feel like it might be a little faction bleed. It's not terrible faction bleed, but it's still really good. I do like that it pushes the go second. It also is bonkers with Sunspear. And Punky Town Trader giving someone immunity is pretty good. And I'll set up 1/1s all day. So that is pretty good too. I think both these are solid cards. I don't think they're as ridiculous cards as Aaron thinks they are, because I think Barra cards this pack are way above the curve compared to these being slightly above the curve.
I think Shandystone is way above the curve.
Yeah.
Like, Martell really wants small boards, and on that small board, being able to, like, do multiple things with characters is really, really good. Especially people like Kaliyat.
Yep.
That is bonkers with Kaliyat.
Yeah, like there's enough little shit that's like, oh, I lost a challenge, gonna defend again, and like now you're annoyed at whatever else I'm doing, that this is gonna be real, real good.
The problem is finding slots for this in Martell is hard. Like, I'm already building Martell decks, and I'm like, this is like 28 characters. I want all these locations.
They have so many good 2-cost locations right now.
Yeah. So, know what's good about Planky Town?
Setup.
Beyond that, it's amazing for setup. It's not when it dies. It's when it leaves play.
Yep.
So, Flea Bottom. Yes, Flea Bottom. Yes, First Snow. Yes, Wildfire. Yes, Varys. That's a lot of use. Like, yes, Valor, right?
Will Planky Town make you play Favors for the Crown?
What?
The plot that bestows more bestow stuff?
I like that plot anyway in Martell. And I like it for a weird reason. I like it a lot because it's a 5/4/1, and there's only, like, one other 5/4/1 in the game. Like, it really helps you to go second on first turn, which Martell really, really, really wants to do. It's basically that or X/4/1, and Martell really hates hitting counting first turn. So, I don't know. I feel like that would make a lot of sense in Martell, because even if, like, you're getting 2 gold on this, like, that extra tempo, again, in Martell of, like, even if you're just getting, oh, God, and it's printed cost, too. So if you get 3 on this guy, you're jumping in, like, their icon removers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or the bouncy dude, who's also 3 cost.
Yep.
Like, that's like, there's a lot of little shit to do with this that's really, really going to be strong. And I don't... God, I just realized what deck this fucking goes in. This is a Martell Stag card, isn't it?
It could be.
This is a Martell card.
No, it's Martell Stag with all the fucking "I'll remove one power from you" bullshit.
Oh, the Cancer Lancer?
Yeah, it's Cancer Lancer fucking fodder. It just went from amazing to, like, because that's the best home for it.
It's good in a lot of homes, I feel like.
Yeah, but it's great there. You're like, all right, bounce it, bounce it. Oh, look at that. This thing can't leave play. I've got to cannot be killed X, Y, or Z now. Have fun.
Yeah, cannot leave play at all.
Whew. Yeah, can't Ramsey it. Can't whatever. Can't sack it.
Can't beat it with an opponent's Ghastly Gray. Yeah. Can't be shuffled back in your deck by your opponent's Forgotten by History.
Yeah, you shouldn't run that, though. So don't run that.
Saying it's possible. Covering all the bases.
It's just...
I think it's interesting, but I just like the straightforward power level of Shandystone. I think that stand on a location, especially that cheap of a location, is going to be extremely strong.
I think it should have cost 3. It's just finding the slot for it. You'll probably fit a 1 of in the majority of the decks.
Will you, though? Because I don't even run Gaston half the fucking time.
It's hard to find room for Gaston.
Like, I like, but you still find room for, well, you find room for the Claim Razor, right? Sometimes that I can never fucking find room for.
I almost never find room for Sunspear. Yeah, there's no room.
I don't anymore.
This is straight up better than Sunspear, though.
Yeah, but there's no room for Sunspear.
I know. It's just, like, damn, Martell has a good 2-cost location spot. And then soon we gotta fit Dorne, because, yo, Martell's gonna run 3 Dorne, right?
I'm not convinced that every single build will, but a majority will.
Yeah, I feel like it changes their curve. They start running some more higher gold stuff. Because, like, hey, man, when you have 1 million cards in hand, playing them is good.
Martell already has reserve problems, often.
It gives them +1 reserve.
I know.
Oh, God. Dorne's gonna be so gross. All right, I'm gonna give the house A-.
I think A- gets my vote as well. These are very strong options for them.
I was gonna go B+.
Okay, we're all in a similar range then.
Okay. So, Will, would you like the first neutral?
Yeah, I will lay the neutrals on us. One quick note, though. I'm going to suggest we blow through these as quick as we can, as I am running real low on time.
Okay. Who's first?
First up, we're going to have the Warrior Sons. That is going to be a 5-cost neutral, 5 strength, non-unique, I should have said. It's military and power icons, army and 7 traits, there's no attachments, and reaction after an opponent plays an event during a challenge in which Warrior Sons is participating. Move 1 power from the opponent's faction card to Warrior Sons. Gosh. In some ways, it's a little bit like Northern Patriarch from First Ed, which was super good. But Warrior Sons, I think, is super not so much. you know, the... I don't feel like I'm just desperately hurting for a 5-for-5 with these icons like I might have been in 4-set era, and it's only stopping it in 1 of those 2 challenges while it's participating. You know, Great Halls and things aren't reducing it, and it's not even really stopping it. They just give you a power if the event's important enough to them. I just don't think it's worth the trade. Even with some of the other 7 tech we've been seeing. I don't think it's enough oomph.
So remember when I was on the cast and we were talking about the spoiled 7 agenda that's upcoming?
Yeah.
I said they needed probably a five cost, five strength, just kind of big body, the equivalent of a wildling horde.
Yep.
This comes close to what that should be. It doesn't have the pump, which is upsetting, but I think it's good just for decks with that agenda, just because it's a big body that's not unique and will win challenges on its own and be a threat to trigger the agenda.
Yeah.
That's what this card exists for. It's to trigger your agenda and have a body that can do it efficiently on its own. It's big enough to do that.
That's true.
So I think this is a fine card for building forward for the agenda, and I think that's all this card does. You don't play it in anything but a Faith Militant deck.
Yeah.
It's
just not punishing enough on that ability to play it as like a policing card in other decks, right?
No, it's just a Faith Militant agenda card, yeah. And in that deck, if that deck is going to work, it needs a card like this.
I think that deck is going to need more good uniques than it currently has, otherwise this won't do anything.
I think it's still probably two characters short, but I think this card has a place in that deck if those characters come.
I don't know.
The next pack is supposed to be kind of 70 themed, it seems.
Yeah, much like this was Old Gods themed. Alright, I'm going to give it...
exactly!
I'm going to give it a C on the assumption that FFD remains true to course and doesn't ever finish developing one of their sub-themes.
I'm going C- then. I think I'm looking kind of skeptically toward that being finished out the way we want it to be.
I really want the agenda to be good, so in hopefulness I'm going C+ because it's my type of agenda if it works.
Alright.
If they failed it, I will come.
Seized by the guard. Neutral. Cost 1. Condition attachment. Non-limited location only. Bestow 4 and terminal. Treat attached location as if its printed text box were blank except for traits. After the marshalling phase begins, sacrifice Seize from the Old Guard unless you discard 1 gold from it. I like that it exists, but I think it's a trap.
I think some decks will need it. I think Baron needs it. Because if Greyjoy is playing Naga's Ribs and you're trying to do the Dom package in Baron, you're just like, oh, yeah, I can't. I can't do one of my house themes.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I don't really see any Naga's Ribs decks anywhere. So, there should be, but until they start seeing play, this doesn't have a home. But I guess Barrow would have no real choice. I don't know. Like, it's...
Yeah, I mean...
if you're playing Barrow and you're scared of Naga's Ribs, like, do you have any other...
That's going to be the... It's going to be the decks that just don't have another choice.
I mean, I guess it has to just be nightmares, right? Like, yeah, so you run this to, and then you lose.
Yeah,
honestly, I wouldn't run this. I would just lose. I would just be like, all right, if I run into that, I lose. That's what happens. Like, that's fine. Like, every deck has bad matchups that they just lose. I would just be like, yep, that's my loss. Because, like, if I pay 5 gold for, like, I know how Greyjoy works. So if I pay 5 gold for this, I'm losing to Greyjoy anyway. Especially because they're going to fucking We Do Not Sow it next turn, and then I'm going to be real sad.
Yeah, I don't know that I ever go so far as to pay 5 for this unless I'm swimming in Tyrell gold or something. But I think 3 is the bare minimum.
Well, you don't have to put any on it to get it to work for one turn, right? Like, it's basically a Nightmares on a Location if you pay 0.
So 2 is probably the bare minimum I feel like I need to.
No,
so that it's...
You can put
better than a nightmare.
No, if you put one on it.
Right, that's what that's why I corrected myself.
No.
Paid 2. Event and the stone ones.
Yeah. Attachment.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so you can pay 2 and then it's better than a nightmare. And you can pay more if you really have to, and it does go on 4 cost things.
That's why I think it's actually good. I'm interested to see what it does for the tempo of a deck that's built upon ridiculous 4 cost locations like Hightower. it's going to slow down that tempo, and in some games, that's all you need for some decks. Like, some decks can't compete with that crazy tempo that you'll get. You'll get Hightower, and then trigger Mace, and then do this and that, and some other bullshit. Like, if you can hold that down for three turns, if you have a strong economy in your deck, this card can build you tempo and help you hold the game out long enough till you reach the later turns in some decks where they want to go to the long game. And the decks that rely on things like the Hightower can shorten the game too much. And I think this might have a home in those type of decks.
I mean, if nothing else, I do think it's good to have it in the meta, to have this.
Oh, this card, at least existing, is very positive for the game.
Yeah. To have an option, at least, for, you know, the houses that aren't Greyjoy or Stark.
And it also is just something for people to consider when they're building and playing, something to be scared of, which is positive.
Yeah. So, C plus.
Yeah, I actually think C plus is probably about right.
No, man, B minus or B, even maybe straight B. Okay. So we're on to the best agenda in the game, green side. It's a neutral agenda. When are we ever going to get a faction agenda?
I don't think we are. If we were going to, we would have got one by now.
One can dream. One of us can win a small card and we'll make it. Force reaction. After the draw phase begins, reveal the top card of each player's deck. You may kneel your faction cards to discard those cards. It's enough.
yeah. No, I think so too. That faction card kneel pretty much ensures that this is just never going to do anything. Like, nobody's ever even building a degenerate combo out of some wacky cards no one saw coming, because you would have to have a faction card stand to enable that. And I hope...
Why?
To stand your faction card?
Why would you need to stand your faction card?
To dream up some funky combo with this, because you only get the discard if you kneel?
I mean, it's after the draw phase begins, so it doesn't matter.
Okay, that's also true. Yeah. See, there's two limiters that mean, for sure, it can only be done once per round, and it's just, like, for that effect, like, I don't know, it is just so subpar. Almost any possible other agenda they would print is going to be better than this. There's no opportunity cost that lines up for me, unless they print a couple, you know, a bonkers Jojen Reed that says, if you're playing the green side agenda, you know, play Jojen Reed to blank two of your opponent's non-plot cards, pay two gold to return him to your hand. You know, something along those lines.
Sounds strangely familiar. So yeah, this card is probably trash. I'm gonna assume someone's gonna come up with something solid with it, pillage based. But even then, I'd probably just run a good pillage location with HRD. So
I mean, is it worth your agenda to maybe discard like five cards over the course of a game in five turns?
Yeah, that's true. All right, so yeah. We're going to call this an F+.
Does that mean it's better than an F, or does that mean it's really bad? I'm confused when it gets to the F range.
It means it's like a 62, and like I'm not allowed to give anything but a 60 or a 65. In that situation, I can give lower than a 60, but I can't give like a 61 or a 64. So like, I'm going to lower it to an F. I'm going to be like, man, you cut my class all the time. And when you showed up, you were super rude. So like, you're going to lose the 2 points instead of gaining the 2 points. So getting to D range. See what I mean?
Okay. Yeah. I got you.
That's what green side's going to be. It cut my class a couple extra times, so it didn't get the benefit of the doubt.
Just went that bit too far.
Mm-hmm.
All All right, last one. I guess that's around to me on this one. King in the North. This is Jakob's champ card that was recently spoiled in an article he wrote up. The King in the North is 5 gold, 2 initiative, 1 claim, 6 reserve. Kingdom trait. While a player does not control a king character, he or she cannot trigger abilities on characters, locations, or attachments. Of course, card design, as mentioned by 2015 Joust World Champion Jakob Altman, the last first edition champ. Oh, and it is plot deck limit 1. I mean, I don't think it's for every deck, but I think it's really, really healthy to have this in the meta as a tool to keep other things honest. I'm really excited about it just from a balance keeping perspective. So it's not generally my kind of card, but I recognize it's very good to have it in the meta.
I just wish it didn't have the king limiter. I wish it just worked.
Yeah.
Like the first edition version, where it was just like, yep, you can't do shit. I think it was more balanced, because people will build to abuse this now versus it being as much a control in the meta. Although at least to finally make some of those king attachments matter a little more.
Yeah, I think that may be the main thing. They wanted to push the need for a king a little bit more.
Well, Jakob wanted to push the need for a king a little bit more, I guess.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, okay, so Martell can never, ever, 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 ever play this, right?
Yeah.
They have some type of banner.
Sure. But even so, like, you better be pulling off some miracle. Targ can run this, which is just fucking depressing.
I don't think Targ likes it, though.
Yeah, I don't think Targ wants to, but they can. There's enough Beggar King decks around.
Well, and they've got a lot of strong events as well. I think that definitely helps them out when they can still get a lot of mileage out of their Dracaris or Consuming Flames or what have you.
Yeah. Turning off Flea Bottom and Plaza, though, makes them sad.
How is this not a winter plot? Whatever. I guess it can't be a winter plot because it's already a choke card. Lannister hates it. All their king shit is trash.
I think Boy King is a bad card, but that's another discussion.
Yeah, Boy King's okay. Terrell absolutely loves this. Like, this is probably mostly a Terrell card, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not sure about all that.
Why would Terrell not like this?
I'm not sure if it's mostly a Terrell card.
Where do you think sees more? Stark?
I think it's a Stark card.
More fun police for Stark.
So, one of my big war revelations... This comes out after war, right? Yeah, of course it does. One of my big war revelations that really affected a lot of what we play, what we are playing, played, whatever, is that King Rob is fucking amazing. Because it's generally pretty easy for your opponent to play around Khor Rob, because like Stark never got quite enough sack tech, so that like the king is really, really strong and really, really, really good at controlling a board, because he's just got so much strength and he can remove shit from military, and it's just like keeps things on the board and it grabs renown, and it's very, very good. So like if that card sees more play, this sees play, and the Wolf King is also really good and easy to fit, so I can see it in Stark. But, like, a lot of what owns Stark isn't triggered abilities, it's events and ambushy stuff. And you can still ambush things in, and you can still play events. So I'm not sure. Like, what's so beneficial about, like, Kat and Winterfell is that now they can't Tears or Reigns, and they can still do that with the King of the North. Like, what Stark is trying to fun police is usually, like, your powerful effects, which this does a little bit of, but like they were never stopping your Melisandre anyway, right? So how does this help that?
It helps them stop things like Big John.
Yeah. They're losing that matchup anyway, man. Stark's got no shot in hell against Watch.
Man, be positive for your faction.
I mean, look, if we somehow pull off 5 wins in 13 against Watch, I'll be ridiculously impressed. Like, Watch is just a real, real bad matchup for Stark. There's not a lot they can do to stop it. I don't think this matters for that. You think I think 5 of this.
So I think the thing is, the path of least resistance, like, what has the least downside in their faction for this card? They're going to take the best advantage out of this, right? I mean,
Tyrell, because what does Tyrell care?
I mean, they care about Hightower, they care about Mace.
Yeah, they usually have Renly, and they can run Oathkeeper pretty fucking easily.
Although, if...
Not Oathkeeper, what's
it called? If this pushes
called?
Kings in general, though, I don't know, Renly may not stay on the board as reliably. Can't be safe.
Sure, but the attachment's still non-terminal. And that attachment's real, real good.
The attachment?
What's it called? The king? What's their king attachment called?
Crown of Golden Roses. There we
go. Crown of Golden Roses is fucking really good. Like, it basically in Tyrell reads, you drew all these cards. Which one would you like to give a strength boost to discard before you were going to for reserve anyway? Or what would you like to flea bottom this turn?
I mean, I'm not saying Tyrell doesn't like it. I think Tyrell does, because they have the most passive economy. Yeah, we'll see, but I think those are the two top houses. I think Stark wants it more than Tyrell does, but...
And there's two houses it wrecks face on. Like, it is bad, straight up bad for Greyjoy.
Greyjoy doesn't like it, for sure.
What?
They sure don't like it, but...
Yeah. Greyjoy, this is very frustrating for Greyjoy. If they don't have Balon out, it's turning off Euron, it's turning off Asha, it's turning off their Iron Mines, it's turning off their Damp Hair. That's a lot of bad shit. It's turning off their,
Guess they better have Balon.
Their Kraken is turning off their Vic trigger. Like, this means that, like, that balance. It turns off their Dagmar. It turns off, if they're running the other Asha stand. Doesn't turn off Theon, but turns off Seastone. Like, that's a lot. Like, they're all triggered effects that aren't events.
Depends on what Theon you're running.
I mean, I feel like once this is released, you just have to run King Balon, right? Like, you have to give yourself that shot with King Balon. I guess you could run Pillage decks. I lost to a Pillage deck recently. It was very sad.
Wait, like, but they, like, actually pillaged you out?
No. Oh, okay. They were running the thing that gets power when you pillage.
Okay.
And, like, I was in control of the game, and all of a sudden they just pillaged, like, a million things in 2 turns. I was like, holy shit, did I just lose by not paying attention?
I got hacked by one of those once. It was just a repeat without his beard and deck, and I'm like, you decked me?
I was like, sure. I mean, okay. Like, I didn't even feel bad. I was like, that was really cool. Thanks. Like, I'm not mad. You beat me with pillage, you beat me with pillage. But, like, yeah, which is why, by the way, people just keep running the King of Salt and Rock. And I'm like, can you not do that? Like, the attachment.
That's a bad card.
Yeah, it's not a good card. But, like, people continually run it. And it was like, oh. You may win because Greyjoy is not that hard to pilot, but, like, you should probably just run good Greyjoy cards because they have plenty. Although, with the King of the North, it's not the worst play in the world anymore. Given all the shit that we just said it turns off. Although, why you would run that and not just support of Harlaw is beyond me.
Bringing it back to support of Harlaw. Now Aaron just needs to really bring back to a favorite, the old gods. And thus, the podcast would come full circle. Beginning and end.
So the king in the north does shut off favor of the old gods.
Ooh, that's true. That was the straw that broke the camel's back right there. No stand.
This is an A card.
Yeah, so it is an A card.
Your Knight Rush might want this too in Terrell.
Props and slops.
Props to Will for the new blood.
I mean, I was going to say props to the new blood for agreeing to come on. All I did was listen to the old blood suggesting, hey, why don't you ask so-and-so to actually come on permanent?
Fair enough. But I like Scott. And everyone seems to like Jesse. Not that everyone doesn't like Scott. But holy shit, does Jesse seem to know everyone in the world.
Yeah, it's crazy. Thank you for joining us, Scott.
Like,
thank you for having me. Thank you, Jesse, for joining as well.
Cool. Slops to Scott. Slops to Will.
What's that for?
Neither one of you are coming to Thrones War. That's a mistake.
We'll see if maybe.
Who would have helped you build your decks?
I mean, you could have just been drafted to my team. No king besides Johnny really knows you, so it seems likely you would have ended up on my team.
There's always next year, I hope.
I mean, slaps to America on there always being next year. Not as sure as I used to be.
That's true. Boy, that doomsday clock.
Props to Black Panther, which I have not seen, but will have had seen by the time this episode comes out, because I'm sure it's amazing.
Yeah. I feel very confident. You know, there's only been a couple Marvel movies I didn't much care for. And you know what? Thor is not in Black Panther, as far as I know, so I have high hopes for it.
Which Thor didn't you like?
The first two.
Oh, really? I like the first one. I didn't love this. I don't remember the second one is the problem. But I like the first one. It wasn't my favorite thing. But I
wanted to like it because I love Kenneth Branagh, but I don't know. I feel like maybe superhero movies are just not his thing.
I don't love him, but I like the movie. I thought it was just fun.
Yeah. Well, thinking of things along those lines, media, I'm going to throw out props to a couple different Netflix series. I wrapped up Altered Carbon this week, and the first season of a series of unfortunate events, which were a blast for wildly different reasons. but I enjoyed them both.
Scott, you got anything?
Will knows I'm quiet at these props and slops. I let other people take the reins.
Well, props to The Gifted, which I'm like 5 episodes in on and is better than I thought it would be.
Ooh, I need to check that out, too. Yeah, I mean, Dan Stevens, and I heard his performance is pretty amazing.
The first couple episodes are real bad. Like, the first two episodes are real bad, and I'm like 5 in, and the next 3 have been pretty good. Like, the first 2 episodes, it's just like, wow, that's a cliche character and an annoying situation. And like, then it ends up solid. I also want to prop what might be... It's certainly my top 5 and might be my favorite TV show ever already. I finally finished season 2 of The Good Place. Well, finally, but it is the single most amazing TV show. Like, that it's a network TV show. The sheer ambition of it is unreal.
Yeah, I mean, that's very true. It is not the sort of thing you expect on regular, especially as a network sitcom.
I'm gonna prop Sartre and No Exit because No Exit clearly influenced it too. And I'm teaching it right now, so why not?
Nice. I think for the moment that's me.
I think you're you for more than just the moment.
Oh man.
Yeah.
I guess that definitely puts me in the danger zone.
And thus, actually, Scott, go ahead.
Oh
no, Scott has to say it. It's his first official episode. Go.
There we go.
And thus closes another chapter of the White Book.